Greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm almost afraid to ask what you remember about me, but we're not going to go there. I've talked with some individuals from that church that were little boys when I was a teenager, and some of the things they remember about me isn't the most flattering things. But you know, we can have the privilege of having those things forgiven through Jesus Christ. If we're willing to surrender to His Lordship, if we're willing to give our lives to Him, those things can be forgiven. The Old Testament prophet talks about the unrighteous man who forsakes his unrighteous ways, and those things are not remembered. But then he also talks about the righteous man who forsakes his righteous ways, and all his righteousness is not remembered. Jesus, in his ministry, used a lot of everyday things to teach lessons. He used things like the vine and its branches. He used things like the sheep and the shepherd. He used things like the farmer that went out to sow his seed. He used the fig tree and the olive tree. He used things that people were familiar with and taught lessons that had a spiritual meaning and context to them. I'm going to do that this morning. The message title that I have on my notes here is Lessons from My Cell Phone. But I guess it could also be called The Parable of the Cell Phone. But we have this little device, and I don't normally bring my cell phone along into church. And if anybody decides they want to play a prank on me, I do have it silenced, so it won't ring. It might vibrate, but it won't ring. But we're very familiar with these devices, and we use them a lot throughout the day and throughout our lives. We use them a lot. Some maybe more or less. But some time ago, I had a little device, and it was called a Bluetooth. A little device that I hang on my ear. I have it hanging on my ear way too much, I believe. It was an older one than that. And every time I put it on my ear and turned it on, it would say, power on, connected. And I did this over and over. And one day when I turned this on, I thought, you know, that's a little bit like it is with us. As Christians. And then I thought, no, that's not quite right. We need to be connected so we can have the power. And as I thought about that and I rolled that around in my mind, there was a lot of other things that came to my mind as I thought about that, and a lot of things that this little device. And so many times we look at this device and we say we're too connected to it and we're too involved with it, and I believe that's true. But there's a lot of things that this little device can teach us, and I want to look at a few of them this morning and use the parable of the cell phone to encourage us in our Christian life. Getting back to that little Bluetooth device that spoke in my ear every time I turned it on, and it would say, power on, connected. I had to think about that in the spiritual life, and I had to realize that, you know, we in ourselves can't turn the power on. There's a lot of things that we would like to do. There's a lot of things that we would like to accomplish in our Christian life. But we can't turn the power on. If we try and do it on our own, we're doing it because we want attention to ourselves. I have sometimes had the situation where I was had the door open to me to speak to someone or to testify or witness to someone about Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes the old man, the flesh, gets in the way and says, you know, you ought to speak to this individual. You know, you could really help them. And, you know, we'd like to hear those words. Well, you really, you know, that really spoke to me. You really helped me, and you were an encouragement to me. And we'd like to hear those words. But brothers and sisters, we need to be connected to God. We need to be connected to Jesus Christ in order for us to have the power turned on and have those words really reach into the soul of a man or a woman and speak to them. Jesus says in John 15, in verse 4 and 5, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. It's very good for us to keep that phrase in mind. For without me, ye can do nothing. Because it helps us to recognize that we need to be connected in order to have power in the Christian life. Satan is out there. He's busy. He's trying to deceive individuals, and he's getting it accomplished in a lot of instances. Brothers and sisters, he's going to accomplish it in our lives unless we're connected and have the power in our lives, because we're no match for Satan. We're no match for his tactics and his devices. Only by the power of God. In my work at a truck shop, there's a man that comes in there delivering tires. He's a small man. He's shorter than I am. And I see him rolling tires into our shop. He's there. He's rolling two tires at a time. I have a hard enough time trying to keep one tire and going the right direction, but he's bringing two in at a time off of his truck, and he sets them in there. But what really stands out about that man is that he's constantly talking about God. He's constantly talking about what Jesus did for him. He's constantly talking about Jesus in his heart. Just the other week, I mentioned something to him about being cold out there. Yes, he said it's cold out there, but he says, I'm warm in here because I have Jesus. And I mentioned something to the salesman that came in to our place of business. I said, Keith seems to be a very happy Christian. He says, Cliff, he says, he is. He says, that man is evidence of what Christ can do to an individual in the life and the heart of an individual. He said that man was a drunkard. He was a drug addict. He lived an immoral life. And he was making plans to end his life. He didn't want to live anymore. He was tired of it. He wanted to just get out. And one day, he met somebody that spoke to him about Jesus Christ. And he said, that man latched onto that. And he said, Christ made a change in his life. And he talked to me one day. He was talking to me, and he knows my background. He knows that I'm a minister in a Mennonite church. And when he comes into the office there to get his paperwork signed, he's oftentimes wanting to talk about something. And one day he came in there. He said, Cliff, he said, I read something in the Bible the other day, and it told me that there's something in my life that needs to change. And I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, I'll keep praying for you that you're able to make that move, and that God reveals more things to you. Because I said, I was born and raised in a Mennonite home. I was a member of the Mennonite church from a young age on up. But I said, as I read the Bible, there's still things that God points to me and that I need to change. And he looked at me. He says, you mean it never stops? I said, no, it doesn't stop. I said, if you read the Bible and you want God to work in your life and you want the power of God in your life, you read the Bible, the Spirit will continue to work with you. And Keith said, I thought it was just because of where I came from. I said, no. I'd like to remind you, brothers and sisters, that God did not get a bargain when he got you or me. It took the same amount of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from our sins as it did to cleanse Keith. Outside of Jesus Christ, outside of that connection, that power that we can have, there is nothing else. And Keith is a perfect example of that. And you and I can be too. Well, another thing that this little device taught me, and I say it taught me because it also embarrassed me quite a bit. Auto spell check, auto texting, auto correct, whatever you want to call it. But I have sent some very strange and at times questionable messages because this little device thought it knew what I wanted to say, and I did not reread the message before I hit send. And I have also received some of those texts. An older sister in our church that sent a message out on the sister's chat, and somebody made a comment about it, and she in very big letters, I think it was all capital letters, replied, I did not want to say that. I don't know much about technology, but I am told that these devices learn from what you type into them. They learn, they kind of learn to predict what you want to say. I'm also told that I believe it's Siri is the name of the voice that some cell phones use. They learn your lingo, your language, your slang. And if you would hear her, that voice talking from a cell phone of somebody else, the terminology would be a little bit different than what you would use because they learn. It learns your language. I'm told that if you take that cell phone and you constantly curse and swear at it, that when it talks back to you, it will do the same thing. (Clears throat) In Matthew chapter 12, begin reading at verse 34 of Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is saying, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Brothers and sisters, what this little device is teaching me is that we need to be careful what we say. The Bible tells us here in Matthew, Jesus is speaking to us, and he says that what is inside will come out. Just like this little device, what you put into it apparently is what's going to come back out. If we have a heart of pride and we're thinking about ourselves in lofty ways and we view ourselves as an individual that can do a lot of good things and very, very few wrong things, then when we speak, we're going to have proud speech because that's what's in our heart. That's what's filling our mind. We have a pity me type of feeling, you know, everything's against me, everybody's out to get me. My life is so tough, I just, you know, and I sit around and I ponder these things and I feel sorry for myself. You know, when we talk, that's what's going to come out. We're going to have a sob story for everything that happens. And everyone that wants to listen to us for any length of time, they'll hear the whole history of how bad things have been for us. But if our minds are filled with righteousness and with the good things of God, if our minds are filled with the Word of God, if our minds are filled with glory and praise to God, if our minds are filled with the wonder and awesomeness of God, if our minds are filled with righteousness, when we speak, that's what's going to come out. Jesus says here, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And you might be able to hide some of that. You might be able to put up a good front sometimes. But brothers and sisters, it's going to come out. And there might be some messages that you send that you want to follow up with. "Well, I didn't mean to say that." I've had to do that myself a number of times. You know, that off-the-cuff smart remark that might cut somebody to the heart. Why did you say it? We need to be sure that the purity of our hearts is there, so that our speech, our lives, our actions can be pure. We fill our minds with things that are impure. We fill our minds with the trash of this world. And we like to hear stories of things that we wouldn't involve ourselves in, but it's interesting to hear those stories. Brothers and sisters, we're feeding our minds on the wrong thing. What are we craving? And we're going to look at that a little bit later. Another thing that this little device has taught me, and maybe it's not so much a thing anymore because the cell phone coverage has really expanded from what it used to be years ago. But there's this one company that had the ad, and you might remember this ad if you're old enough. The ad said something about, can you hear me now? You know, and that was an ad for a cell phone company that said, if you have our service, you'll have better coverage. You won't have those blank spots where people can't hear you, or you know, you gotta just walk around and turn yourself just the right way, and then oh yeah, and that right now don't move. You know, you stay there, and then you got the cell phone connection. Well, let me remind you that if there is a problem with connection, it's not on God's part. If there's a problem with connection and a communication between us and God, it's on our part. Psalm 34 and verse 6 is a very precious verse to me. This psalm is a psalm of praise, adoration to God, thanksgiving to God, crying out to God. And a number of years ago, I was in the hospital, and I had surgery, and after surgery, I crashed. Emotionally, I crashed. Physically, I crashed. I couldn't talk with anybody. When somebody would call me or somebody would come and visit, I couldn't talk with them without crying. I couldn't talk with the nurses that came to take care of me. I couldn't ask them questions without breaking down and crying. And I couldn't have cared. I didn't feel like getting out of bed. I just lay there. And I was discouraged. And I picked up my Bible and I thought, you know, God has the answer. From way down in the darkness and depth that I was in, I knew that God has the answer. And I picked up my Bible and I opened it, and it opened to Psalm 34, and I started reading. And I got down to verse 6, and it says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." And brothers and sisters, that's as far as I got. I didn't read any further. I just lay there and I cried, and I realized that God knows exactly what's going on. God cares. Stop and contemplate that for a little while. Just think about that. The God of heaven, the Almighty, the Holy, the Righteous, the All-Powerful, Omnipresent, Omniscient God is willing to have you come to Him and cry out and ask for help. And not only that, but He's able to save you. He's able to provide for you. He's able to heal you. He's able to forgive your sins. He's able to make you whole again. You stop and think about that. The God of heaven cares about you. He cared about me when I was laying in that hospital bed. And He cares about you in any situation that you're in. It's not saying that everything's just going to get all rosy and be fine and dandy at that point. It took me a day or two to recuperate. But the fact that God is there makes a big difference. God wants to hear from us. God wants to hear from you. He wants that connection. And he's doing everything he can to keep that connection alive and viable. But it's up to you and me as to whether we're going to do our part and keep that relationship and that connection open and flowing. I had to think of Balaam and his donkey. You know, the princes and the officers from Balak came to him and they said, "The king wants you to come and curse this people that are coming up against him." And he asked God, and God said, "No, I don't want you to go." So he told them that, and they went back, and Balak sent some more prominent officers and princes, and they came to him, and they said, "He's going to give you this and this and this, and you know, he wants you to come." And he said, "Well, I can't do anything other than what God says." And he went to God again, and God said, "If the men come to you in the morning, you go with them." Well, it doesn't say that he waited till the men came. He was ready to go. He had this vision of what all he could receive, I believe. Bible doesn't really tell us that, but it says that God was upset with him when he went with the people. And he put an angel in the way, and the donkey, the first time the donkey saw the angel, it went out into the field, and Balaam beat the donkey and got it back on the road again, and they started going down the road, and after a while the angel was standing there again, and the donkey saw it, and there was a wall on each side of the road, but the donkey was able to go to the side hard enough to get past the angel, but in the process he crushed Balaam's foot, and Balaam again got upset and he beat the donkey and got him going again. And the angel appeared the third time, and this time there was no way around. And the donkey laid down. And Balaam got angry. And he beat the donkey again. And the donkey talked to him. And I don't know what you or I would do if that were the case. I mean, I think I know what I would do if that were the case. I would, "You talk to me? What's happening here?" But Balaam was so angry and so upset that his plan was being hindered that he said, "You know, if I had a sword, I would kill you." And the donkey said, "Why? What did I do? Have I not been faithful to you all this time?" And then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and Balaam saw the angel, and the angel said, "You know, if it wasn't for your donkey, I would have killed you and saved the donkey alive." I can just hear God saying to Balaam, "Can you hear me now?" You know, and sometimes God needs to bring situations into our lives to bring us up short. And then he says to us, "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me speaking now? Do you have time to listen to me now?" Brothers and sisters, we need to have our hearts and our lives open to the connection and the interchange between us and God. This little device here is a wonderful device. I can call somebody and talk to them. I can send them a message. I can tap a button and bring up a weather forecast. I have probably about four different Bible apps on there. But this little device can do nothing, not a single thing, unless I keep the battery charged. Again, we're talking about being connected to the power source. Psalm 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Do you keep your battery charged? Do you meditate? Do you have a delight in the law of the Lord? You know, I don't know about how you have your devotions and how you do in your devotional life. But if you open your Bible and you read and then you close it and you pray a short prayer and then you go about your day, it's a little bit like me plugging this thing in for a minute or two and expecting it to last the whole day. It just doesn't work. It fades out. It dies. And brothers and sisters, if we have our connection with God on that very limited, very, very casual way, we're going to die out too. The Bible tells us that we need to delight in the law of the Lord, and we need to meditate upon that law. Brothers and sisters, this morning, if you delight in the law of the Lord, you're going to want to read the Bible. It's something that you enjoy. It's something that has meaning to you, and it has value to you. And you're going to meditate on it. You're going to think about it. You're going to dwell on it. You're going to fill your mind with it. And if you have a meaningful devotional life, I don't know if you have it in the morning. I don't know if you have it in the evening. I don't know when you have your devotions. But when you read the Bible, do you just read? Or do you actually meditate on it or study it? There's a big difference between reading and studying the Word of God. Reading is good. Don't get me wrong. Reading the Bible is good. But studying the Bible is a lot better. And there's many ways to study the Bible. I'm not going to stand up here and give you a lecture on how you should do it, because there's many different ways that are right. The only thing I'm going to say is I'm going to caution you, make sure that the study helps you're using are sound and safe. There's a lot out there that are not. But we need to delight in the law of the Lord, and we need to meditate on it, and we need to think about it, and then we need to speak to God in prayer. You know, reading the Bible and studying the Bible is God speaking to us, and then prayer is us speaking to God. It's a two-way street, and we need both of them. God says he knows what we need before we even ask, but he wants us to ask because he wants us to realize that we have needs. And he wants us to realize that we can come to him with those needs, that we can be honest with him. Do you delight in God's word? Is it important to you? Do you take time to read the word of God? There's another thing that this little device has taught me, and that is that I need to pay the bill. Every month there's a bill comes due for that device so that I can use it, so that I have a connection. And if I don't pay that bill, the results are very simple. I can't use my cell phone. I have no connection. So, you know, like with all things, not only the cell phone, but with all things, we look at what it costs us and we decide whether what we're getting is worth the cost. You know, if you're shopping for a vehicle, you look at different vehicles and you say, well, this one is a better value than this one. You feel you're getting more for your money with this vehicle than you are with this one, and so on and so forth. Brothers and sisters, is your connection with God worth the cost? Every one of us would say yes, for sure. But what are you willing to pay? What are you willing to pay? Are you willing to pay the cost to have that connection? Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, begin reading at verse 23, and he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Are we counting the cost? Is it worth it? I can assure you that it is. It's worth every penny, if I want to say it that way. But Jesus here says, if you want to follow me, if you want to come after me, you deny yourself. You say no to the carnal flesh. You say no to the old man. You crucify that. He brings that out here and he says, take up his cross daily. And that was before Jesus was hung on the cross. We have the reference. We look back and we say, yes, just as Jesus was crucified, that's how we need to give up ourselves. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus spoke these words, they didn't have that point of reference. But they knew well the punishment of the Romans, because those punishments, just like in Jesus' case, they were done publicly. And people, criminals, were hung on the cross to die. And before they were hung on the cross, that cross was laid on their shoulder and they had to carry it out to the point of execution. Jesus says, you need to deny yourself. You need to give up yourself. You need to lay yourself under the cross and realize that you need to give up everything for me. If you want to save your life, you want to save it for yourself, you want to do what you want to do, you want to live life to your pleasure and to your glory and to your praise, Jesus says you're going to lose it. But if you follow me, if you're willing to give up your life, and that doesn't mean you have to die just to be a Christian, but it means that you need to give up yourself, your desires, your ambitions and goals in life. And you need to follow the ambitions and goals of your Lord Jesus Christ. If you're ashamed of Jesus now, he tells us right here that when he comes, he's going to be ashamed of you. Is that what you want to hear? Is the cost worth it? Last point. This device sometimes buzzes or rings or beeps, and I'm busy, and I don't have time to answer it right away. I'll check it later. I got voicemail. If somebody calls me and they really want to talk to me, they can let me a message. And life goes on, and all of a sudden, a couple hours later, I realize, oh, yes, you know what, my phone, you know, and I look, and oh, yeah, there's a message from. But I missed the opportunity. I call the individual back, or I send a message back, and they say, well, it's a little bit too late. I got somebody else to help me out, or I found answer somewhere else. Brothers and sisters, when When God brings Brother Samuel to your mind, and you don't know what about Brother Samuel, but for some reason that name, that brother, the picture of that brother just popped into your mind, do you take the time to respond to that? Do you take the time to stop and pray? You know, Lord, I don't know what about Brother Samuel, but you do. And if he's going through a trying time, be with him. Encourage him. And maybe even you call Brother Samuel and say, Brother, I'm not sure why, but God brought me to your mind, and I'm just here. I'm just calling you, just to let you know that I'm praying for you. You might say, well, that's kind of strange. That's kind of a stupid thing to do. You know, maybe it's just nothing. Maybe just for some reason he popped into your mind. You don't know that. God has a reason for bringing people to your mind at certain times. I had that situation happen to me. The brother's name wasn't Samuel, but for some reason it came to my mind, and as soon as it came, I forgot about it again. I was busy with other things, and I got involved in other things. That evening, I thought, you know what? I should call that brother, just see how he's doing. And I called that brother, and I could hear it in his voice, almost with tears. He told me about a real struggle that he faced that day. Just a real trial that he went through. And I had to admit that I hadn't prayed for him. Answered the call. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that God in times past spoke to us through his prophets, but today he's speaking to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Have you answered the call? Have you listened to that voice? Have you taken the time to respond when God talks to you? When God calls? Or is life too busy? Well, I'll do it sometime later. Let's kneel for prayer.